written by Corner Cornea. I don't know what made me do it. Perhaps it was something in me that snapped. Perhaps it was all the talk of the nightly news of how we're all living in a simulation. Nothing's real. I wanted to test it. I don't know. But for whatever reason, I walked down the block to the grab and go that day. Cars were out front getting gas, and some guy was propped up next to the pebble-walled trash can. The front doors used to be automatic when the place was first built, but that didn't last long. Not in this neighborhood. Which makes me think now, why did I choose that dump? Why didn't I go a few blocks over to where the nicer 7 stood? And it wasn't as if I didn't have enough cash in my pockets to get what I wanted, just a bag of chips and a soda. Really can't say why I decided to do what I did. Maybe it was just to answer that burning question that kept searing itself in the back of my brain every night as I lay in front of the glow of my TV. What if I... In the moment that the words filled themselves in, there was no changing my mind. I've always been like that for some reason. So, once I decided to do what I did, I realized that the best way to start it off was to cause a scene. And I couldn't think of a better way than to push over the aisle and watch all the wine bottles crash onto the floor, dyeing the grime white tiles a dirty beige, causing everyone to turn their eyes on me, and I was liking it. Some woman saw the bulge coming from my jacket pocket as I walked up towards the cash register. She screamed, "He's got a gun!" as she ran into the wired spinning rack full of candy before crashing through the double doors. The worker that was smoking behind the cash register ducked out of sight. The plexiglass they installed a few years ago swung on its hinges. I tried to breathe, pump some oxygen in my brain in order to think. And maybe if I had gotten some real air, things would have turned out differently. But all I got was a lung full of week-old hot dogs sweating themselves next to the icy machine, where a woman and her child were huddling. The wand inside the little glass window spun the slurry around and around, making me dizzy. The woman looked tired and terrified at the same time. And the boy, well, he looked like me. "Give me the money," I heard someone say. It took me a second to realize that person was me. Everything was moving so slow now as I reached the front. The cash register was right next to the Bic lighters and was made of thin steel and hard plastic. I grabbed it, but before I could take it, the cashier stood back up. The hard glint of gunmetal bore its darkness into me. For a second, all I could see was down the barrel. It was like looking into a cave and knowing that something was back there, waiting to come out, spelling certain death. And it may have looked like I ducked on the CCTV, but no. My knees saved me when they gave out. They folded underneath me and sent me crashing to the gum and Snickers. Then a shot went off. Now, I don't care how it happens in the movies, where people immediately get back up and pop one off, but the cashier then unloads again and a whole gunfight ensues, because no one did such a thing, not in this small and hollow space. We're all too busy holding on to our brains, afraid they leak out of our ears. That's how hard the sound of the shotgun blast shook. I got up and stumbled towards the exit. I glanced over my shoulder to see the cashier holding his head, the shotgun clattered across the counter. And slowly the sound of things started coming back to me. It began distantly, almost as an echo as my hearing returned, like waking up from a dream. But I heard it as the first noise came back to me, loud and clear. It was a scream. I turned to take one more glance behind me. And there on the floor, that woman with the kid was screaming and screaming. Her bag was spewed out and her phone was lying on the ground. I could see it vibrating as someone called. I looked at her, but she didn't see me at all. She just kept screaming. They must have been trying to get out of the door, I realized. They must have ran behind me. But I ducked and I made it. The boy didn't. Outside, the air wasn't fresh at all. It was laced with the smell of petrol and motor oil staining the pavement. I could see some people running away as I came out and hear sirens punching the sky in the distance. An unassuming car pulled up as I got near the pumps. The driver was completely unaware of what had just unfolded as he ready to park. I stuck my hand back in my pocket, shouted at him, I waved it around, watched his eyes travel towards the store, saw the gears turning in his head. I didn't have time for this, but I was also in no condition to drive, so I got into the door behind him and shouted, "Drive or I'll shoot!" He stepped on the gas. We peeled out of there. The car hit the dip on the way out, causing my head to bob as he asked, "Am I going to die?"
"Just keep driving!"
I shouted at him as I rubbed the back of my head. I felt something wet and thick on my neck. I tried wiping it off, but the thing only smeared some more. I pulled back my hand and saw blood. Lots of blood. And it wasn't mine. I could see the driver looking at me through the rearview mirror. Just his eyes. They were dark and they grew narrow as he watched me.
"Keep going!"
I shouted at him angrily.
"Drive faster!"
"I can't."
His voice was oddly quiet.
"There's traffic."
It was true. We'd hit a street and pulled up to a red light. There was a gap between two cars up ahead.
"Go through there,"
I directed.
"We'll hit them."
I could hear the sirens getting closer.
"Drive or I'll shoot you and do it myself."
His eyes disappeared from the rearview mirror as they aimed at the gap between the two cars. We would have made it without all that fuss if one of the cars hadn't slightly budged to the left as it pulled ahead a few inches. This caused it to scrape the doors on the sides, hitting both vehicles. The look on the faces of the people in the other cars were a mix of shock and horror as we jigsawed our way through them like a can of beans. When it got a bit narrow, we started to slow down, and I shouted at him,
"What are you doing?"
"There's a red light."
"Run it! Run the light! Run it!"
I watched his head turn to the left to make sure it was clear before he gunned it. A red Sentra came rushing towards my window as we split into the intersection. I could see the woman inside, her eyes widening as she let go of the wheel to shield her face. She missed us by a hair. Brakes squealed as other cars swerved or stopped before ramming into us. And when we came to the other side, the driver whooped as he bounced in his seat.
"Holy shit, did you see that?"
I tried my best to snarl because I didn't want him to see me crack a smile.
"Don't slow down," I instructed him.
Yeah, sure thing.
He turned for a second look at me.
"This is the most fun I've had in a while. I mean, I've been meaning to plan something for a while, but you know how it is, right? Work and family."
I cut him off angrily.
"This is a getaway, man. There ain't gonna be nothing fun about it, you hear me? You're gonna do what I say when I say it. This ain't no game."
"Yeah,"
he agreed.
"Okay, sure thing."
"Now shut up and keep driving."
We barreled down the road to where there were more cars. For a second, I thought the driver would try to slow down and then squeeze between the cars again. But unprompted, he yanked a merging right and the passenger tire popped the curb. There was a girl walking her dog. She screamed and jumped out of the way. The dog wasn't so lucky. It ran it over like a hump in the road. The thing yelped once when the front tires went over it, and then all I heard was the rump as the rear tires did the same.
"Oops."
That's all he said before a fire hydrant popped into view and he pulled us off the sidewalk and snaked between a few cars until we were running at full speed in the merging lanes.
"What are you doing?"
I yelled at him.
"We need to keep a low profile or else you'll get us caught."
"I'm just trying to get us past all this traffic. Lose the cops, you know?"
"They're already almost gone."
"Hey, look, you're the one who told me to keep going."
"But keep it chill or else we're gonna get another tail."
He shrugged.
"Sorry about that."
But that didn't stop him a few minutes later from running over the woman who was crossing the street.
"You saw that, right? There was nothing I could do."
He turned to me.
"She was in the way. It's her own fault."
I grabbed my head with both hands as the body of that woman slid a red line down the rear window, marking our car like a crime scene for everyone to see.
"What are you doing?"
"Man, we're gonna get caught. Why the fuck did I choose this car?"
But it was as if he didn't hear me.
"Hey, look, Mallard Street."
And he took the turn. Oncoming traffic swerved out of the way as we went crashing into a row of cars.
"What are you doing?"
I demanded.
"Relax. My ex works near here. Boy, she's gonna be surprised when she sees me."
"What the hell are you talking about?" I asked in bewilderment.
"This is a getaway."
"Don't worry, I'm just gonna pop by and say hi."
I put my hand back in my pocket and jammed my jacket between his ribs. I could almost see the air he sucked in through his nose.
"You're not gonna stop this car,"
I ordered. "You understand?" His shoulders loosened a little.
Oh, no. Don't worry. We won't have to stop. She's a crossing guard. No sooner had he finished before the galvanized steel poles stuck up from the ground around us. Their yellow signs warned of children ahead and to reduce speeds in a school zone. The driver beeped his horns twice as he sped up towards the crosswalk. Kids in their tiny backpacks were already in the street. A woman in a bright yellow reflective jacket holding a stop sign turned and looked at us in utter horror. I watched as her mouth opened. I screamed for both of us as the car slammed into her and proceeded to eat her under the hood as if she were being swallowed. The driver smiled and waved. This isn't real. I felt my mouth form.
Hey, how about some music?
He told me as the radio came over the speakers.
No, that's no good. We need something better.
He flipped through the channels before finally settling on one.
Ooh, I like this song. Never cared much for the album, you know, but this number's pretty good.
Let me out.
What?
I said, let me out!
What are you talking about, buddy?
Stop the car right now!
I can't do that.
He smiled as the sound of a helicopter chopped overhead.
This is the police.
The loudspeakers droned into the car.
Stop your vehicle. You are under arrest. I repeat, this is the police. Stop your vehicle.
I was wondering if that'd show up.
He ducked a little in his seat to look out the window.
Hey, I can't see it.
He groaned.
I wanted to see it.
He craned his neck.
Do you see it?
What the hell is wrong with you?
I don't know,
he told me. I could see his eyes staring back at me from the rearview mirror. Just his eyes.
I woke up this morning, just like any other morning, tired and sick and broke, but just needing to get to work, you know? Every other day. But then you showed up. God knows what I would have done if you hadn't. Or, you know, whatever it is that you believe in. Or don't, I don't really care, you know? It's not like I'm that religious anyways. I haven't been to mass in years.
I could feel my eyes widening in my sockets as he kept blabbing. The pressure from my brain trying to process what was happening, pushing against my eyeballs from a place beyond my skull that I couldn't see. It felt as if the pain got any worse. They detached my retinas.
Let me out!
I shook his seat.
Stop the car and let me out!
He looked up at me again through the rearview mirror. There was a crazed look in his eyes. They almost looked happy, I thought, right before I heard the doors click. I pulled at the handle from the rear seat. The thing didn't notch. It was like a limp dick in my hands. I pulled it again and all I felt was the spring action, but still no click.
Child safety locks,
he told me, before he gushed with pleasure from his mouth.
Ooh!
He said as a guy waiting for the bus appeared in our windshield. The driver ran him over. I felt the familiar thump-thump as the guy's body went under us. The driver shook the steering wheel vigorously, laughing as he shrilled,
5 points!
There was no reason to run that guy over. He wasn't going to slow us down. He wasn't even in the way. The driver runs another red, and then makes an abrupt turn into a parking lot. There was people everywhere. Slow down, I murmured from the back seat. And all he did was keep laughing.
10 points! 8? Oh, that one's gonna be a five or a six.
Slow down, I told him again as I covered my eyes. Please, I begged. But the car kept bouncing, and he kept laughing as I kept repeating. This isn't real. This can't be real. Dear Lord, please make it stop, I moaned. Then, as if it were a godsend, I felt something ram into us. The driver yelped angrily as he spun the wheel. I looked up and saw us heading for a couple of empty parking spaces. The cement parking blocks tossed our heads in the car as we ran over them. I looked back and saw a black pickup steaming from the hood as it gave chase. The guy in the truck rammed us again from behind, sending the car into a parked handicap pole. Smoke was coming from our hood as the engine coughed. Driver tried to put us into reverse, but by then several squad cars had caught up. Each one smashing us in, crushing the car's frame like a soda can, cracking all the windows until I could barely see out of them. Over and over again we were hit until our front bumpers pinched us from all sides to a dead stop.
Put your hands up. Put your hands up.
I heard several angry voices shouting. Someone was attempting to kick the glass down. I put up both my hands and shouted,
I don't have a gun!
The driver turned to look at me and smiled.
Don't worry, bro. I got you. He tossed me a side piece, and for the life of me, I'll never understand why I caught it.
That's when the glass fell down, and that's when the cops fired on us. Several days later, I woke up in a hospital bed, chained to a gurney as the sterile smell of the hospital leaked into my nose as I wept. Mostly I cried because it was finally over. For the next few weeks, detectives and lawyers came in and out of my room to question me. I admitted to everything, the gas station, the hijacking, and how I even felt absolutely devastated about the kid that got shot, and how I'd take full responsibility for the consequences of my actions. But what happened afterwards? What happened in that car? All those people? I told them that wasn't me. That I didn't tell the driver to run over all those people. Of course, no one believed me. Especially not the jury after hearing everyone who suffered that day on stand. Now, because of that stupid, awful split-second choice that I would have never made on every other day, I'm sentenced to life, which means that there's really no point if anyone actually believes my version of things. It's not as if I could get parole or anything, so I've mostly given up trying to convince anyone. But I thought I'd give it one last try, not for myself or anything like that, but for all those people locked up out there with that driver. Because yesterday I got a letter in the mail from him, and it was mostly blank, except for a few haunting scribbles that read, "Got a new car." Thank you for listening. You can handle another horror story, right?